Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Burning Hearts, using scripture to draw us into a deeply intimate conversation with the Lord. Rachel asks us to consider two questions. What is God saying to us? And what are we doing about it?
Hello, friends, and welcome back to Burning Hearts with me, Rachel Herbeck. So happy to be back here with you this week as we dive into God's Word and ask, what is God saying? And what are we doing about it? How are we responding to what God is saying to us? And we have entered into such a rich liturgical season here. We're anticipating Christmas. We're journeying towards the birth of Christ. And there's such a way that we can gather together to dive into God's Word, not just in Jesus's infancy narratives, but in all of God's Word to help prepare for the coming of Christ, to be intentional in our hearts and our minds about how do we welcome Jesus into our hearts in a new way? How do we rejoice at the birth of Jesus Christ? And today, we have a special feast day that we're celebrating, the Immaculate Conception of Our Lady, and we're celebrating how she was conceived in the womb of her mother without sin, in the womb of Anne without sin, this beautiful way that God is preparing Mary to be the new ark. He's preparing Mary to be the new ark of the covenant, housing the presence of God. And so it's a beautiful day that we honor Mary, and I know for me, I've had such a journey with my own relationship with Mary. And for many years, I was like, you know, like she's the mother of our Lord. So of course, I honor her and venerate her and all these different things. But it was like hard for me to connect on a personal level. You know, it's like she's sinless. You know, sometimes I fall asleep when I'm praying the rosary, that type of thing. But over the last number of years, I've really had a growing relationship with Mary. And this year, I got to visit Our Lady of Cabejo and one of the Marian apparitions when I was in Rwanda. And I'd visited Lourdes and had a profound experience there. And I love Our Lady of Guadalupe. I've been there 9 or 10 times now, and it's a beautiful experience. But I really, so far, I think Our Lady of Cabejo was my favorite apparition that I visited. It was before the Rwandan genocide. Mary appeared to three, you know, high school age girls there and warned them with very similar warnings that we hear in Fatima, very similar warnings that we hear in all, really all of the Marian apparitions, to repentance, to making reparation for sin. But I went there, and it was such a beautiful, humble place. And there's this side chapel where she appeared, and the tabernacle is there. And then there's these beautiful, beautiful flowers surrounding Mary. And everybody takes off their shoes when they go in there, and it's just lit by candlelight. And there was a place there where people could place their intentions. And these women were just there for hours, giving themselves to Mary, giving their intentions to Mary, putting their hearts in front of her. And it really convicted me. It was just so beautiful. And I sat there and I cried out to Mary on my behalf, on behalf of my family, on behalf of those that I love and the intentions that I want her to bring to Jesus. And so today, as we honor her on this feast day, let's cry out to her and let's model her. And I want to open up as we pray with just Luke chapter 1, 46 through 55, which is Mary's Magnificat, so beautiful. And we're going to be in the Gospel of John today, beginning Jesus's Passover discourse, his Last Supper discourse, and see how Jesus is humble and see how Jesus serves his disciples. But we want to pray with Mary this beautiful Magnificat prayer in Luke chapter 1. So if you'll join me, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed, for he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in their conceit. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has come to help his servant Israel and remember his mercy he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and his posterity forever. Amen, Lord. We just rejoice with Mary and who you are, that you are the mighty one who has done great things for us. And we ask you to be with us as we open up your word. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. such a beautiful prayer to pray, to exalt the Lord, to say, Lord, you are mighty and you have done great things for me, and holy is your name. Almighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And where I want to go this week is I want to be in the Gospel of John. We've been in the Gospel of John a couple of times, but we've been in this section of scripture actually in my Bible study that I do with young adults. We've been beginning the Passover discourse where Jesus begins to speak to the apostles about his death. He'll be arrested soon, and he's beginning to prepare his disciples in a real way for his arrest and his death. And so we see the beginning of this in John chapter 13, and we see Jesus giving us a model for leadership, giving us an example of amazing humility. So I want to read that, and then I want to see what the Holy Spirit has to say to us. We're going to be in John chapter 13. We're going to start in verse 1. I'm just going to go verses 1 through 10. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And during supper, when the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper, laid aside his garments, and girded himself with a towel. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel which he was girded. He came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, Lord, do you wash my feet? Jesus answered him, what I am doing you do not know now, but afterward you will understand. Peter said to him, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I do not wash you, you have no part in me. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said to him, he who has bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but he who is clean all over, and you are clean, but not every one of you. For he knew who was to betray him. That was why he said, you are not all clean. And there's so much more that we could keep going on, but I want to stop there because that's a big chunk of 10 verses. So what's happening here is Jesus is about to celebrate the Passover with his disciples. It's the last thing he'll do before he's arrested and he passes into the hour of his death. It says, now before the feast of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come. And now before this, we see at the beginning of John, we see in the preaching of Jesus, him preaching the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He says in John, in the miracle of the wedding at Cana, he says to his mother, my hour has not come. There's this theme over and over again of the hour of Jesus. And what is the hour of Jesus? It's an hour of his suffering. It's an hour of his death. The hour to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world and loved them to the end. His mission was to come from the Father, to love those in the world. And then when his hour had come, it's through death and resurrection to return to the Father. Jesus's hour has come. You know, one time we were on mission in Mexico City and we're there, we work with this amazing priest, Father Manuel. He's just a super young, dynamic priest, amazing guy. And a handful of years ago, we were there with young people, and we went to visit him out in his parish, and he was placed in this very, very rural parish that when he got there, he was sleeping on the floor of the sanctuary. That's where his house was, because he didn't have like a big house. And he would sleep there in front of the altar, and there was no one that would come to church there, really. Like, no one was coming to the parish. No one was coming to Mass. And all around the area were people that were part of the drug cartels. And so he began to go around and convert them. He began to go around door to door, all this kind of stuff. And one day he was bringing the bills that they needed to pay to the diocese. They had like all this big cash to the diocese in Mexico City. And he got held up at gunpoint. And somebody robbed him in his car, and they threatened to shoot him, and they threatened to kill him. And he was telling us about this, about how dangerous it was to be doing the ministry. And we said, Father, were you afraid? And he said, yes, I was afraid, and I am afraid. Because it's dangerous. The mission that God is calling me to is dangerous. It's hard. It's challenging. It can be lonely at times. It's a sacrifice. And then he said, he stopped and he looked at it and he said this. He said, but it is the hour of Jesus. It is the hour of Jesus, la hora de Jesus, he said in Spanish. It is the hour of Jesus. And I do as Jesus has commanded me because the hour has come. And Jesus has brought his kingdom to earth. And it's okay if my mission involves suffering. It's okay if my mission involves hardship. It's okay if my mission involves fear, because the hour of Jesus is here. And I can push through all of that, he was saying, because it's the hour of Jesus, the hour that Jesus has departed from this world and gone back to his Father. And we are waiting for him to come again to judge the living and the dead. Jesus knew this. He knew his mission. I love that. It says, it doesn't just say it was Jesus's hour. It says Jesus knew that his hour had come. Imagine. It's not like Jesus knew that it was time for him to fly up to heaven and be like, peace out, I'm going up to the Father. Jesus knew everything. He knew what he would endure. He knew what he would walk through. He knew his suffering. He knew how many times he would be whipped. He knew those who would reject him. He knew those who would run away from him. He knew how much pain it would be. He knew the agony in the garden. He knew the death that the Father was calling him. And so he knows that he's going to the Father and he has that security. But he also knows what it means for him to depart from this world. Imagine living with that, the weight of that. You're the only one besides your Father who knows what's coming. You haven't been able to share it with your friends. You haven't been able to share it with your disciples. All of these different things. Only the Father knows. And Jesus knows. And he's saying, this is my hour. And he's carrying this weight. And I love this, because what does he do with this weight? He says, the hour has come for me to depart to the Father, having loved his own. The Father gave him those in the world. He gave him the disciples. And he says, even though I'm carrying this weight, even though I know I'm going to my death, yes, I know I will go into eternity and pass through death and defeat death, but he still had to go through the crucifixion. He chose to go through the crucifixion. This was his hour. The hour of glorification for God is suffering. The hour of glorification is to be a man of sorrows. And in his suffering and in his agony and in his weight, he loved his own. He loved those who were in the world, and he loved them till the end. For Jesus, yes, he loves us when he's on the cross. That's his supreme act of love. But when he was with his disciples, he loved them. He knew their hearts. He knew what they were carrying. He knew their pain. He loved them deeply. He laughed with them. He walked with them. He carried them along with his mission in his heart until the very end. And so as we go on about our days today and we're reading this passage, I think to just reflect on Jesus's hour. Jesus, it is your hour in the world. You have departed from us. You have gone up to heaven, and we are waiting for you to come again in glory. This is your hour. And so prepare us. Show us what you were carrying. Show us how you loved us till the end and how you loved your disciples till the end. Join us again tomorrow as we continue on in this amazing passage from the Last Supper Discourse. God bless you, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Burning Hearts is hosted by Rachel Herbeck, the Director of Young Adult Discipleship for Renewal Ministries. Each program can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and at RenewalMinistries.net. Burning Hearts is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Throughout the scriptures, Jesus' teaching on the conditions for salvation are consistent, urgent, and often very challenging. Friends, I'd like to offer you my friend Pete Burek's new booklet, What Must I Do to Be Saved? This booklet unpacks several gospel passages to help us find and stay on the narrow way. To get your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/burninghearts. That's renewalministries.net/burninghearts.